It's been a little more than a week since Amazon officially announced its choice for a second headquarters split between two cities. Just in case you missed it, one is Long Island City in New York City's borough of Queens. The other is Crystal City, Virginia, just outside the nation's capital. 228 cities were in the running. Honolulu was not one of them. Our contributing editor, Neil Milner, is here with the segment, The Long View. And Neil, in the world of what if Honolulu had tossed its hat into the Amazon ring?
Well, if it had tossed its hat into the Amazon ring, the hat would have been tossed right back by Amazon. And there are some obvious reasons if the whole thing was played straight, educational thing, isolation, and so on. But the fundamental reason is that no cities really had a chance except for the two cities that got it, because it was pretty much a done deal. And that Long Island City and Crystal City in Virginia had some really obvious advantages going for it. And it isn't that Amazon lied about this, but it's that we had this kind of mystique about Amazon being willing to step into very marginal places. You know, there are two things to be said about where Amazon located. One, as you know, if you go to New York and you look just across the river from Manhattan, Long Island City, Queens may sound like some suburb. It's across the river. It's a big industrial area that's pretty much vacant now, except for high-end buildings. It's just across the bridge. And it looks very much like Amazon Headquarters 1 area did before it was built. That was a large plot of land that hadn't been developed close to a very important area of downtown Seattle. So, yes, we wouldn't have gotten it, but it was really not ever likely that anybody else would, except for the two places.
But there was this aspect of this almost beauty contest competition, or seemingly tell us what's great about your city and about your locales, and basically give us access to a lot of big data about your whole region.
Yes. I mean, on the one hand, you can understand why the cities wanted to play this game, at least for short-term reasons. The other part of it is that Amazon's business is a very sophisticated business that depends on an enormous amount of big data about transportation, about logistics, about community characteristics. And part of what Amazon got out of this was, in a sense, free data gathering. Certainly Amazon has data in every one of these places. That's how they decide about shipping and location and so on. But this gave them, at the taxpayer's expense, basically, not at Amazon's expense, an enormous data bank on each one of those locales. And so they now know a lot more about what we buy and what we ship and so on.
And it touches on, you know, there are competitions a lot of times in terms of cities or what lengths cities will go to attract various almost trophies. I mean, whether that's sports stadiums, whether that's something like the Olympics, whether that's something like, a Pro Bowl football game. But these come at costs.
Yes, they definitely come at cost. I think the thing to understand about this, and what makes this very hard and very tempting politically, is that the short-term gains seem to be enormous. That is, you create some jobs, you get a lot of good publicity, your city comes out looking like a really good place, and not least is that you get a political victory. But as economists, they've pointed out a lot of times, and I should say that in politics, short-term definitely dominates over long-term, sure, as in fact it does in human psychology, but it certainly does in politics. Economists point out two things about this, and whether it's a stadium, and there's a whole literature about it. Economists just go, I mean, you can hear them growling when some city gives something away to get a city. Yeah. So economists say two things. The first thing they say is that frequently, typically, these kinds of tax incentives, which is what you're giving, you're essentially saying to a company like Amazon, here's what we're going to give you. And it's usually big, big tax incentives. They don't really, in the long run, pay off in terms of economic development. I know that's counterintuitive, but that seems to show up. The second thing, and this is also consistent, Companies, when they pick location, do not pick locations on the basis of tax incentives. They pick locations on the basis of the availability of educational institutions, especially, and other kinds of quality of life things. Now, they're more than willing, which in effect is what Amazon was looking for also. Like Amazon, companies are willing to say, willing to play the tax incentive game because it's frosting on the cake. But those are the two things that economists say that make them skeptical about these sorts of things. And you can see in the critical literature that's starting to appear about this Amazon thing that those are the things that are worrying about the long term, whether it really will have that much economic development, how much it's going to cost in transportation and all those sorts of things. But there isn't a governor. There isn't a mayor in America that is going to be able to resist that kind of competition. And you see it in the small situations here, too, when we've given tax incentives, the legislature has, to, say, the film industry. It's a regular part of the process that is really kind of problematical.
Film industry, you could make an argument that there is a bit more involved in terms of, and it doesn't, one of the things about Amazon is there's an opportunity cost. If Amazon puts its headquarters there, that means something else is not going to go
yes,
there.
Yes, that's true.
In New York, for example, a lot of, you mentioned about affordable housing, and that may have been an area. But that's not going to be happening now.
No, that's right. Well, in fact, that one of those areas was really pretty prime for an affordable housing development. And there still may be some development around there. Yeah, the film industry is an interesting one because you're right. It's not such a big sacrifice for us to have a truck parked in front of our house with a chuck wagon there. On the other hand, for a long period of time, there really wasn't much data on whether the film industry, it all depended on whose data was, whether we were really benefiting from that.
And anecdotal versus systemic.
Versus systematic. And the main reason that it stays around is that the political cost of getting rid of it and the kind of loss of prestige with Magnum here and so on. So that's a small version of this kind of process.
Other aspects in terms of when cities and including Hawaii states look to draw outside investment capital. What if any lessons for Hawaii in this experience?
Well, the lessons for this experience, the first lesson is it's in some ways apples and oranges. Hawaii has certain disadvantages. It has great climate advantages. I think in terms of economic development, it has more disadvantages than advantages. I think that one of the ways that economic development tends to work is if there is local capital that combines with the educational institutions and develops a kind of a more consensual model of economic development. That seems to be better. You need the money somehow. Hawaii has a problem, I think, with not a lot of huge local capital, not a large of corporations here, not a large huge charitable organizations willing to put money in. I mean, we have some, but they're not that large. The real thing that you get involved with if you do this sort of thing, and you could see it here, there are two things. First of all, and it's all based on the competition factor. The first thing is that because you're competing against other places, you're going to have to keep much of your application confidential. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that you're making big promises about the allocation of resources without other politicians and the public knowing.
Right.
That's the first thing. The second thing is that this is a kind of race to the bottom. And as one critic pointed out, why in the hell, he said, should cities compete with each other at this level? Isn't there a better process to do it?
Lessons from Amazon. Many thanks, Neil.
Sure.
Neil Milner, retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. You can find out more on the Conversation's Facebook page.